All right. Well, good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel. So great to see you guys. Glad you're here. And before I have Pastor Bill come up, I wanted to give you guys a reminder of next week. We have a very special week here at Calvary. We celebrate our 25th anniversary next weekend. And so, yeah. So we'll get back into Matthew next week after a break this week and the blessing that Pastor Bill's going to bring. But then Sunday night, what we're going to do is actually starting Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we're going to be setting up some grills. We will provide the condiments and some chips and some Cokes, and then you bring whatever meats you want to put on the grill or whatever you want to have. If you want to bring your own grill, you can, but we'll have grills here as well, and we'll go from like 3 to 5 or 3 to 5:30 and just have an early dinner and right before service. We'll have our normal service that evening. And that evening, what I'm going to do is just kind of with some pictures, walk us through the 25 years of where we started, where we've come from, where we are, and how we got here. I know we have a lot of new people at Calvary, and so that way you kind of know our history and where we are, and kind of just have a big celebration of that. Matter of fact, we're probably going to have some shirts and hats and things that remember that and commemorate that as well. So it's going to be a great celebration. But that's for next week. This week, we're blessed to have with us, again, as you guys know from Agents for Christ, Bill James. Now, real quick, before they come up, Bill and Pastor Dave, back in 2009, these guys come rolling in with their families and, you know, they say, hey, we want to come. Can we share? Can we, you know, minister to you guys or whatever? And they did just that. They were literally traveling the country just doing, you know, street witnessing and just sharing the Lord, gotten saved, on fire and going for it. And just watching what God has done over the years as we've been involved in that ministry, seeing now God giving them a property in Las Cruces, New Mexico, where they're doing the 10th Hour Project, where some of our kids are now, as you just saw, where some more are going. And then seeing what God is doing by giving them property in Uganda and the work and the school. And I'm sure Bill's going to share all that. But either way, excited to have him here today. And so let's welcome Bill James.
Good morning. It's great to be here. I want to start out by saying thank you. This church has partnered with us for a very long time, and we can't do what we do in New Mexico and Uganda without people praying for us and partnering with us in many, many ways. So thank you. It's true, our ministry started with a simple, started in my life when I surrendered to Jesus. I was, if you don't know my testimony, I was a detective working narcotics, living a secret life. And I finally quit running from Jesus and surrendered my life to Jesus. I traded in my gun and my badge and picked up a more powerful weapon right here, the Word of God, amen? And that began Agents for Christ. I was an agent for the United States government, then I became an agent for Jesus Christ. And God gave us a vision to be missionaries to America. We sold everything, two families, me and my wife and our two kids, Dave and Deanna and their two kids, and traveled the United States in two RVs for 3 years, just simple vision, sharing Jesus Christ and encouraging others to do the same. And it's true everywhere you go, when you walk out your door of your house, even in your house, to your children, your family, to your at work, everywhere you go, God's called us all to be his witnesses. You know, I was a witness in many cases as a detective. And they'd call me up, and I'd raise my right hand. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And then I would be a witness in that case, whatever I saw, heard, or experienced in that case before the court. You know, the truth is, that's all God calls us to do as witnesses for Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I think Knoxville and Uganda, New Mexico are the ends of the earth compared to Jerusalem. Amen. But I want to encourage you this. We're called to be a witness. That's all God asks you to do. And what is a witness? Telling other people what God has done for you. Telling what you've seen and heard and experienced from Jesus. Amen. But I want to encourage you with this. What God called you to do to be his witnesses, he's given us the Spirit to give us power to do that job. Amen. God's given us his Spirit that lives in us to empower us to be his witnesses. Amen. And you know, God, as we continue to travel, one ministry, Agents for Christ, God all of a sudden changed everything. And we didn't know what God was doing, but trusted the Lord. And we now look back and see the amazing things that God did as he sent Dave and Deanna to New Mexico with one side of Agents for Christ, one ministry now, two parts. Agents for Christ is made up of New Mexico with the 10th Hour Project and Uganda with Uganda Kids Project and Calvary Chapel Ashunga. Well, God sent us to Uganda, and I lived in a Walmart tent. You can see a copy of my home if you go to Walmart to the camping section. Walk over there. They're the $99. They're still $99. It was $99 10 years ago. Now it's still $99, I guess, whatever. But they are pop-up tent, instant pop-up tent. We lived in them for 3 months on the side of a grass hill in a small village in southwest Uganda called Ashunga. Started with nothing, tents and a vision from God to put in a well for water for their bodies and teach the word, water for their souls. And from that simple beginning, God built the first building called Ashunga Mission Outreach Center. And the ministry started there. We planted a little church and I've watched God bless the work. We built a medical center. We provide free medical care. We started a primary school with 15 kids that God has blessed and grown to now 500 students in our primary school. And now we're building a high school. And by God's grace, we will see the walls of this high school go up. We just burned 40,000 bricks. We make our own bricks. Now we're trusting God to provide this money for the cement and the sand and the labor to raise the walls. Amen. But our vision in Uganda is three words, all for Jesus. But you know, it's easy to say, it's really easy to say I'm a Christian or I follow Christ or I'm all for Jesus, but we're really challenging these kids to live for Jesus. That it's be a really, their life would really be, the vision of all for Jesus would be shown in daily as they walk with him and people see Christ shining through them. We have a table out in the lobby. We have somewhere I put them. Oh, here they are. We have these prayer cards. You can pray for me and my wife. We have brochures on Uganda Ages for Christ, 10th Hour Project. There's crafts. There's these necklaces that are made by the Ugandan women. They're made out of paper, but they're amazing necklaces. Everything's for donation. We have a couple opportunities. If God would move on your heart, besides praying, please pray for us. Take one of these cards and pray for us, please. But maybe God would move on your heart to join us financially. We started this program called The Power of 10. Giving $10 a month to Uganda Kids Project will feed one of our children for a month. Food has doubled in Uganda, and the price of food and running our school has been very difficult. But God's faithful, but maybe he would have you join us in that. Also, we lost many sponsors through COVID, and we need child sponsors. We take this very seriously. The money that you give for the sponsorship goes to your children's schooling, the children's medical care, the children's family, and the community. And, but you know, please pray for us. I'd love to talk to you more after the service at the table. And this morning, I'm here to encourage you in the Word of God. Amen. Hopefully you have your Bibles open. We're going to be in James this morning. James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. James 4, 7 to 10. The message is called Winning the War. I'll remind you, hopefully encourage you this morning that we are walking in victory right now. Jesus has already won. Amen? We are victorious in Christ. We are walking from victory. We're not trying to get to victory. We're walking from victory in Christ. But I pray that my message maybe will challenge you this morning, but also to remind you that God loves you. Let me read James 4, 7 to 10. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In the local language, and where I live in is the Ankoli tribe, the language is Runyankoli. Let's pray is Katu Shabe. Let's pray Katu Shabe. Lord, we give you thanks. We do come before you now. We worship you because you are God, worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory, for you are God and there is no other. Thank you for your word, which guides us into all truth, and your spirit that lives in us, that comforts us and helps us, empowers us to follow you. Lord, I pray you'd speak to each person here this morning, that you would be glorified in our lives, that you would challenge us to cast off all sin and things that so easily entangle us and run this race, looking unto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray you'd meet us here. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be talking about spiritual battles this morning. We all struggle with them. We all are facing a spiritual battle right now. And the big battle we have going on in each of us is this battle between our flesh and our spirit. And I want to remind you of this. You know this, but whatever you spend doing, whatever you spend all your time and energy doing, that's what's most important to you. And it's, you know, that challenges me. Because it's really easy to waste a bunch of time and our energy and our money and our efforts on things that are not going to last. This world is passing away, and that all that in it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is all going to pass away. But it says in 1 John chapter 2, he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. Amen. That amazing relationship that God wants, this abiding connection with Jesus Christ every moment of every day. He says, pray without ceasing. How can you do that? Because the Spirit of God lives in you. And wherever you go, you can talk to God. He's there. He's with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. But we have this spiritual fight going on by our flesh and our spirit. If you feed your flesh will grow strong. Your spirit will grow weak. If you feed your spirit daily, your spirit will grow strong and your flesh will die. You'll see victory. But talking about the spiritual battle, the word battle definition is a fight, an encounter between enemies or opposing armies. So if we keep it simple this morning, a battle is just a fight. And we're on in a spiritual battle, so this is a spiritual fight. And Paul teaches us in Ephesians 6:12 who our enemy is. And our enemy is not unbelievers or the other side, the left or whatever. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12 who we're fighting against. And it's not flesh and blood. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is our enemy, spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenlies. You know, in order to have victory, we really need to acknowledge the battle is real. We need to understand that we are the target. You are, your family, your children, your neighbors. But at the same time, we don't want to give the devil not 1 minute of our time. The devil is already defeated, amen? He is defeated. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And I believe with all my heart, the devil, through a born-again believer, with the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the devil has two things he can do. He can lie to you, and he can make you afraid. Amen. But the spirit living in us is greater than the spirit of the world. In Uganda, we see these spiritual battles all the time. Witch doctors are all over the place, worshiping trees, demonic possession, demonic oppression. It's real. We see it all the time. In America, it's the same. It just looks different, right? In Uganda, they're worshiping a tree. In America, they're worshiping what? A person, a team, self. Materialism is a huge idol. Spending all our time searching after things of the world and money and things that are not, don't last and will never make you happy. Here in James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes his, the most practical biblical book, giving advice for how to live the Christian life. In the first three chapters, he talks about a lot of things, very challenging things, but talking about being double-minded, being only hearers of the word, not doers of the word. Showing personal favoritism to the rich, or speaking empty words, not true faith, shown by actions. Having an evil tongue from the same mouth, proceeding blessing and cursing, and many things. But as we come to chapter 4, James addresses this war going on inside of all of us. It's this battle between our flesh and our spirit, good and evil, Jesus and Satan, the God's kingdom and the world system. And this morning we're going to look at three things in our study, three things. First, our problem. Secondly, the battle. And third, the victory. First thing we want to look at this morning is our problem. In James 4, verse 7, he says, therefore, submit to God. And hopefully you understand, whenever you see the word therefore, you need to look back and see what the therefore is there for. Amen. In other words, everything James has just said, he says, therefore, this is what you should do. Amen. So he tells us our problem. We look back to the beginning of chapter 4, James 4, 1 through 4, James addresses the many problems that we all struggle with. Let's read it. James 4, beginning in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And James is talking about the problems we all have. What's the root of our problem? We're all sinners. Since the fall, we've all just a bunch of sinners. Sin's everywhere, and it's always knocking on your door, amen? Always trying to get you something of the world, trying to get your eyes off of Jesus and follow something else that leads to emptiness and destruction. It's really important to be honest. And I'm not talking about, you know, husbands being honest with each with their wives or spouses or children with their parents. I'm talking about each of us being honest with God. Because two people in this room know everything about me, God and me. And the same for all of us. And God already knows. God already knows your every sin. He knows every thought, your every thought. He knows everything about you, and he still loves you. So we need to stop playing games with God and be honest and come to God and with honesty and as a friend and talk to God and surrender our problems to God. And James is here challenging all of us as he starts talking about these problems. In verse 1, it says, wars and fights come from among you. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? The truth is our flesh loves to feel good. And it's everywhere, on the TV, internet, everywhere you look, everywhere you go, it's calling to you. But I want to remind you that Jesus is also calling. I'll never forget when I was at my home church living a secret life, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, and I'm a narcotics detective, a bad combination, very bad. But God still loved me. And I remember sitting in the back of my church, and it was like my pastor, Doug, was speaking directly to me. God was speaking directly to me as Jesus was calling. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I experienced, I'd been living the laboring part, you know, trying to do it on my own, and I was not winning. I understood the heavy laden of carrying the burden of sin, and it was getting too heavy to bear. But I'd never experienced the rest that Jesus offered until I finally listened and came. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're playing games with God. I don't know. But you know, and God knows, and Jesus is calling. He wants to give you rest. He wants to forgive you and fill you with his spirit and experience his love. James continues in verse 2 and 3, challenging us with our problems. He says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And James is talking about the sin of prayerlessness, not praying. Also, number 2, the sin of praying with the wrong motives. But 3, he's talking about these strong desires that we all can have. It's called coveting. And these strong desires are in our hearts, and it's a very dangerous sin because it's easy to hide what's in our heart. We need to be very careful what we see, what we hear, and what we think about, because what you see, hear, and think about will ultimately become what you do. If you're filling your eyes with evil, you're filling your ears with evil, and you're meditating on evil, what are you going to do? Evil, sin. But the opposite is true. Spending time with Jesus and engulfing yourself in his word and prayer and spending time in with him, walking with him in fellowship with other believers and worshiping him, he's ultimately going to change your life from the inside out. Proverbs 23:7 warns us, says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We need to be very careful what we allow in our eyes, our ears, and what we meditate on. He continues to challenge us. Jesus makes it very clear, one more verse on that thought. Jesus made it very clear in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I know, I tried for 5 years and I was miserable until I finally surrendered and gave my life to Christ. And I'm not saying that my life is perfect, amen? Jesus didn't promise to make us rich. He doesn't promise to make our life perfect. But he promises never leave us nor forsake us and to be with us whatever we go through. He uses good and bad for his glory and our good. Amen? And we learn the most through what? Difficult things, challenges. That's where we really learn the difficult challenges of life, but he never leaves you as you walk with him. Leads to our second thing, the battle. In verse 7, James 4, 7, he tells us the two opposing forces. It says, submit to God, resist the devil. The two opposing forces are God and the devil. And James clearly tells us these two sides of this battle. You know, out witnessing, I've been witnessing for a long time in America and a lot in Uganda. We still go out all the time, take our kids out to share their faith, because something happens when you go out in the streets and tell someone about Jesus. You're not going to talk about something you don't have. And when you go out and tell someone about Jesus, you got to decide, do I really believe it myself enough to tell someone else? And it really challenges our kids. Hopefully it challenges you. God wants you to share your faith, be a witness wherever you go. And if you pray for divine appointments, he will give you divine appointments. And really what happened in my life, I just made myself available. I said, Lord, I want to serve you. And he used me. But here we see people, you know, out in the streets, a lot of people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in eternal life. And I say, it doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is what's true. You can say you don't believe in gravity and climb up on this roof and jump off, and you'll quickly understand it doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is truth, right? And the Bible, this is the word of truth. Every word is true, and every promise is for us today. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth. And the Bible says the Spirit is the Spirit of truth that guides us into all truth. And we need to believe what's true, amen? And believing what we believe is important. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But we need to believe the truth, amen, not the lies of the devil. And again, the devil works through fear and lies. Talking about the two sides here, God and the devil, who is God? God is the creator, the sustainer, life giver, forgiving, loving, Lord of lords, King of kings. Genesis 1:1, my dad always said, if you can believe this verse, you can believe the entire Bible. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's true. God created everything, including us. And we are the prize of his possession. He desires to know us and walk with us. Paul talking about who about Jesus, who is God. Colossians 1:16 and 17. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Jesus was with the Father at the beginning as they created everything. And he is right now holding all things together. I love Isaiah 40:28. Isaiah says, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. I can just picture Isaiah like crying out to people. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Look at everywhere. God is everywhere. The heavens declare the glory of God. His beauty, his majesty is all around us. I think about Uganda. You know, where I live in Uganda, I actually somehow feel guilty because I live in Hawaii without the ocean. We live in 60 to 80 degree temperature with bananas. We grow our own coffee, pineapples. You guys should come visit. We're hoping that a team will come from this church and come again. You guys came once. Some of you came. We're praying that next year you guys will come again to come visit and serve in Uganda. Uganda is an amazing place. The president is a Christian. The president's wife's a Christian. The doors are wide open everywhere, at every school, everywhere to share the gospel. And we go out all the time. But I think about it, you know, we're like right on the equator, but I live in the mountains at 5,000 feet, so it's not hot. It's like 60 to 80, 24/7, 365. But, you know, we're close to the equator, so I think that makes us like 1 inch closer to the sun or something. I don't know. But at night, you go out there and you see, when it's a clear night, it's like the stars are right there. And I think, wow, look at that. The heavens declare the glory of God. And I think it just see God's beauty and his majesty and how big God is and powerful. But then an ant crawls across my foot. I'm like, wow, God created that little ant. And I think, wow, God created us. He created me. And he loves me. He loves you. And what an amazing truth that God's love changes us. It says the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. John talking about God's holiness in 1 John 1, verse 5, he says that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. God is holy. He's perfect. He makes no mistakes. Seek God with all your heart, and you will find him. What he tells you to do, do it, because he doesn't make mistakes. His will is perfect. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. God sent me to Uganda, to a little tiny village. I never knew, never even dreamed of going to Uganda, let alone Ashunga, in a little village 5 hours from nowhere with nothing but nothing. But God was there. God sent us there. And I'm safe there and secure there because I'm serving Jesus there. That's where he led me. And it's the same for you. Wherever God sends you is where he wants to use you. And that means whatever school or job or your neighborhood or wherever you go, wherever he's sending you, that's where he wants you to be his witness. To 1 John chapter 4, and says it, this three powerful words twice. In verse 8 and verse 16, it says, God is love. His very character is love. And man, it still blows me away. I've probably said this 5 times, but I'll say it again. God knows everything about me. He knows everything I've ever thought and everything I've ever done, and he still loves me and wants to forgive me and have a relationship with me. And it's the same for all of us. Talking about the devil, one thing, the devil's a liar. John 8:44 says, he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. He is a liar and the father of lies. The other thing we need to remember, not only is he a liar and he works through fear, he's already defeated. Jesus defeated the enemy on the cross. He made a fool of him, it says in Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus made a public spectacle, a fool of Satan, when he defeated him, dying on the cross, washing away our sins, and rising from the grave and ascending into heaven. And one day he's coming back, amen? And it could be today. Could be today. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, he tells us the two plans, one of them which you're going to follow. We're all going to serve somebody. John 10:10 is Jesus telling us the devil's plan. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And then he tells us his plan. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus desires to give us eternal life and abundant life today as we walk with him. You know, in Uganda, we were there for about 3 years before we found out about this tree. In the Ankole tribe, they're involved in witchcraft, but they're very secret about it. It's completely secret. I didn't even know who the witch doctors were. Even recently, I only found out that one of the ladies that I always prayed for was one of the witch doctors. I'm like, good grief, you might have told me. Somebody might have told me. But that, my point being is they're very secret. They'll go to church on Sunday and pray, and when Jesus doesn't give what they want, then they go to visit the witch doctor, which is really sad. And when we're seeing fruit and we're seeing the lives change, especially of the children, as we're teaching the word verse by verse every week and every day at the school. My job is doing chapel. It's my joy. That is my church, those kids. Hundreds of them that we're teaching about Jesus every day. And God is doing a great work. But this tree was this beautiful tree, stood over the entire valley of this like a symbol for the devil and his lies and fear. We have this little video we're going to watch. It's 2.5 minutes, but let's watch about this tree that God allowed us to cut down.
We're here at the tree in Ashunga, Uganda. This is where the people for hundreds of years have offered sacrifices to this tree, to the gods or whoever they were offering sacrifices to. And now we are here trying to bring an end to the lies of idol worship and bring the truth of Jesus Christ. There's only one God, Jesus, and Yesu Ahulili, Jesus is alive.
Yesu Ahulili, Jesus is alive, amen. And the tree was a monster. They believed all sorts of lies about this tree. They believed if we cut it, it would bleed, but
no blood.
They believed if you took any of the branches, you'd be cursed. And they'd been there for 150 years at least. And they never touched any of all the branches. It was a banyan tree, so all these roots are growing everywhere. They believe it was protected by snakes, so I'm looking for the snakes. I mean, the picture, you know how videos don't even show the real size. That tree was so massive. And the people were so afraid. The local people who own chainsaws refused to come. They were afraid. We had to get these guys 4 chainsaws from far away, 5 hours to cut the tree down. It was so big. Gathered everyone to pray because they would, you know, if somebody would have got hurt, they would have blamed it on the tree. So we're like, we're praying for God's protection, and He protected everyone. No one, nothing happened. God protected us. Let the video play to the little spot where the fat guy next to the tree, if we can, and pause it. The massive tree. God cut it down. But there's a little video. We have a little bit of time, I think. So, look it. See me on that little... Well, keep playing. Let it play for a little bit. That's a chainsaw, man. There's the next picture. Everybody's happy because the tree, the Wiki Witch of the West, is dead. Right there. See me? I'm in my white. I'm like in right there, standing next to the tree with my. I don't even know if you can see me. I'm so small. This shows how this tree was giant. And people are like, "You cut down that beautiful tree." I'm like, "Yes, that tree was the devil. People were worshiping this devil, and we came to bring Jesus and to teach these kids about Jesus." We're seeing much fruit, and this tree was a complete lie. And it was all sorts of fear. They believed all these lies, and they were so afraid of this tree. I mean, the OGs from the village all came, and they were afraid because I'm, like, going to bring a curse. I'm like, no, Jesus will protect us. And they, like, then they said, oh, well, maybe Daddy Bilu's small gods are greater than our small gods. I'm like, are you kidding? I don't have a small god. I serve the living God, Jesus Christ, amen? And He's greater. 1 John 4:4 is the verse I stand on all the time. It's God's 4x4. 1 John 4:4, it says, He who is in me is greater than he that is in the world, amen? And He lives in all of us, and we can be secure in Christ. Whatever you face, you don't have to be afraid. God is with you. And man, we saw great miracles when we cut that tree down. 2 families that were heavily involved in worshiping that tree. One of their fathers was Richard. And Richard was dying. They didn't know what was wrong with him. He was on his deathbed. They were preparing to bury him. Then we cut the tree down. The next day, Richard was completely healed. God delivered him. And we went and I began to minister to Richard and led him to Christ. Richard serves Jesus today, amen. And next to that tree on the hill, there's a house that had 4 grown boys, and they came and visited me, and they say, Daddy Bilu, thank you. We believed the lie of that tree for all these years. Now we know it's the truth is Jesus. We serve Jesus, amen. And God allowed us. God showed up. God allowed us to cut down that tree, and we saw a victory. Leads us to our third thing, the way to victory available to us today. Here in James 4:7-10, he gives us 6 things that we can do to have victory today. And I'm not talking about some 6-step program or some formula. I'm talking about walking with Jesus daily. And James tells us what we should do daily. He tells us the first thing we should do is submit to God. That word submit means surrender completely. It's a military word. It's like a private submitting to his commanding officer. Daily give 100% to God. And as you submit to God, the second thing, resist the devil. And the only way you can resist the devil is being submitted to God. Amen? So give all to God. Resist the devil means give nothing to the enemy. The word resist there means stand against. I encourage you to read Ephesians 6. I don't have time to go there this morning, but in Ephesians 6, it says 3 times, stand therefore, and stand again. Amen? Standing in the power of who? God and his might. putting on the armor of God. And he gives us all the armor that we can put on daily. But he tells us this, the offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. The word of God. And I'm telling you, you might have a Glock at home. I used to carry a Glock. This is much more powerful. Much more powerful. Resist the devil, and it comes with a promise. He will flee. Resist the devil, and he will run away. Leads to the third thing. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is an invitation and a promise. The invitation is God calling us to draw near and spend time with him. And the promise is that when we draw near, he promises to meet us. What an amazing truth. Leads to the fourth thing. It says, cleanse and purify. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Talking about the sins that we so easily struggle with, that God desires to cleanse and forgive every time we fall. You know, the devil says, give up. God says, get up and try again. Amen. Thank God we serve a God of many chances. Because I would have been no hope long ago, but God today still gives me another chance to walk with him and you. Cleanse your hands. Talk about your sins on the outside. Purify your hearts. The sins in our hearts on the inside. What's the victory over our sin? Prayer. The prayer of faith. Admitting our sins, repenting from our sins, surrendering our sins to Christ. And by faith, allowing the blood of Jesus to cleanse you completely inside and out. Leads us to the fifth thing. It says, lament and mourn and weep. You know, as we draw near to God, we have a vision of God. We're going to be convicted of our sins. I think of Peter. When Peter denied Christ, he saw Jesus looked at him, and Peter looked at Jesus. And what happened? He went out and wept bitterly because of his sin. He denied his friend, his Savior, his Lord. You know, think about that. We deny Christ all the time by how we live. I fail all the time. Thank God for his grace. You know, his grace is greater than our sin. It says in Romans, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Even look, turn back one page to James 4:6. It says, but he gives more grace, amen. We fail, he gives more grace. Whatever you're going through, he gives you enough grace to bring you through whatever you're facing today. His grace is greater than whatever battle you have today. It continues, it says, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that leads us to the final thing. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, as you draw near to God and you see your sin and you, what is it going to ultimately do? You recognize your brokenness and our frame and see God high and exalted. We're going to be brought to a place of humility. And it says in the sight of the Lord, I think of Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah saw the throne of God, he had a vision of God's throne, and he saw God, and he saw his holiness. He see the angels and all the sounds of heaven and the, you know, the rumbling in heaven. And he saw God and God's holiness. What did he say about himself? He said, woe is me. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And he cried out to God. And the angel brought a coal from the altar and touched him, and he was cleansed. Amen. God wants to touch all of us today and cleanse us of our sins. He calls us to walk humbly before our God, to come to him humbly, brokenness and honesty about our sins and our desperate need for him. And what does it say he'll do? He will lift us up. Amen. In closing, Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 5:16, he said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Victory is today available by walking with Jesus, walking in the Spirit. And what an amazing promise that we have today, that the Spirit lives in us. As we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is given to us as a helper, as a comforter, to fill us and empower us, give us victory over sin, to guide us into all truth. And think about that. God lives in you. Think about Adam and Eve, God walked with them in the garden. Moses and the children of Israel, God led them by a pillar of fire and by a cloud. But we live in a more blessed time because the Spirit lives in us. And that means God lives in you. And can anybody defeat God? No, you walking with Jesus, abiding in Christ, you can't be defeated either. I believe with all my heart that I will not die one second sooner or live one second longer than God ordained before time began for me. And the same for all of us. It says it's appointed for a man or a woman to die, and then comes the judgment. God appointed a day that we would be born and a day that we would die. And walking in Christ, we are victorious. We are secure in Jesus Christ. And even as this body dies, this tent perishes. Is that defeat? No, that's victory. Victory comes when I die and I meet Jesus. I see Jesus face to face. That's the true victory. And I think about this a lot. If I was to say, Jesus is coming back in 5 minutes, and of course, nobody knows the day nor the hour, so don't get me all weird here. But if I said Jesus is coming back and you think, oh, I'm going to miss this, or I'm going to miss that, or I wish I could do this, that thing that you wish you could do or that you're going to miss is an idol. And we need to be honest, because idols can be very deceptive. Idols can be very sneaky. And we need to be honest. The idols in our life, they're like trees growing in our hearts. We need to cut them down. But we know that it says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's where our home is. And I think about when I lived in those tents for 3 months after we moved into our new brick building. I forgot to zip the front of the tent, and the storm came and just completely destroyed my tent, tore it to bits. It reminded me that my house is not in that tent, nor is it in a brick building. My house is in heaven, amen? But it was a good visual picture. The tent's destroyed, and I'm living in a new house, amen? And this is not our home. We are only sojourners. We're only passing through. The last verse, Ephesians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you waiting to meet Jesus? I hope so. I can't wait till the day I see him. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I can't wait to see his face. I really believe the joy and the reward of heaven is that we're going to be with Jesus. You know, I want to challenge you, leave you with a challenge this morning. You know, that tree was an idol. People worshiped it, and they were afraid of it, and had all kinds of things that was affecting their lives, and we cut it down. Cut down the idol in the Shunga. I challenge you this morning. The Bible says to examine our hearts. And you know, an idol can be anything. But we need to be honest with what's idols in our hearts, in our lives, and we need to cast them out and let Jesus have his rightful place on the throne of our heart as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you that you're a God of forgives and a God who loves us and gives us many chances. Though we fail, you pick us up and brush us off and call us to keep going. Lord, you love us and you desire to walk with us and empower us and give us victory today. Lord, I pray you'd help us to cut down all the trees in our hearts, all the idols in our lives, and that we would allow you to be the Lord of our heart. Take your rightful place on the throne of our heart as the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name.